It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, everyone. Shannon Gates here, getting you ready for our very fun podcast with the wonderful Bryce Isaiah. A quick disclaimer before I do. When we recorded the podcast, there was a lot of information, a lot of discussion on Reddit, on Twitter, about how Laomei's puzzle with Jacques solving it for 2 hours was actually unsolvable based on the way that the pieces had been put into the slide puzzle. This was corroborated by Christian Hubicki, and as we know, Christian's word is gospel. So obviously, we took that during the podcast and spoke a lot about it. Since then, we have received some exclusive insider information from production that has told us that they realized that the puzzle was unsolvable 30 minutes in, they reset it to a solvable state, they put both tribes, so Ula and Laomei, on an even playing field and just let it play out from there. And then what we saw of Nathan trying to throw it but being unable to, and Jacques not being able to get it, was accurate. So that's what production is saying. They told me that they weren't, you know, they didn't show them actually resetting it. I guess they again underestimated that superfans will close in and screen cap every single part of the episode, which you think they would realize by now because we do that a lot. But other than that, they didn't, you know, show the resetting. They did realize this had happened. They did make it fair. That's the statement from production. So I don't want to spread misinformation. I want you to think about that and the new information we've received while you listen to the podcast, and just keep that in mind. And otherwise, just enjoy what I think was a really fun podcast. So enjoy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Survivor South Africa, Island of Secrets. I'm your host, Shannon Gates, here to talk about episode number 5, and we are going to have a lot of fun today, that I can promise you, because I have an amazing panel to talk about this episode. Firstly, please welcome, as we do every week, my amazing co-host, Mike Bloom. How are you going, Mike?
I am thrilled, Shannon. I'm pumped up. Feeling strong, feeling immune. I had a huge helping of Brysostrath this morning, so I'm ready to take on the day.
We must be focused. You must have stamina. I love it. And that does lead me into my next introduction. Such an amazing guest. I'm so, so thankful to have this incredible podcaster on with us this week. He's the incomparable Purple Pants Badass. Please welcome Bryce Isaiah. Bryce, how are you doing?
Hey, good morning or good night, whatever one you is at, but hey, how are you?
I'm so good, Bryce. I'm so excited to have you on. Like, as soon as I heard you talk about it with Rob, that you're, you know, looking to watch Survivor South Africa, I was like, we cannot let the season go without seeing which characters are the freakiest freaks, which are going to be on the Zaddy calendar. Like, there is so much going on that we need to know from you.
Oh, yes. I was so excited because I was so sad when, you know, Survivor ended. And then, you know, I done seen Rocco post up on my timeline. I said, who this man? And then I started getting this. I said, oh, and I always hear people talking about Survivor Australia. And I said, this has to be my season. This is a reason for the season. And I was like, oh, my God, let me get into this. And this season is not disappointing at all.
So to get into it a little bit, Bryce, so did you get into Survivor South Africa this season particularly then, or had you watched any previous seasons before this year?
So, you know, I have had, so I've never watched the full season, full disclaimer, I'll be honest. But, you know, one of my first loves, Nick, and, you know, my original, like, Australia daddy, Henry, you know, so I, like, went back and watched clips of them, and I was like, oh, this, it looks pretty promising. So I've known about it, but I've never really, like, got the time to watch it. And people ain't never sent me the link, so I was always, like, searching for it. And I thought, like, I found it, and then I was like, oh, I'm gonna watch this episode. And then it was only, like, 5 minutes. 5 minutes of it, and then like a random like commercial for like denture cream. So I'm like, this is not seeming to be right. So now that, you know, I got the plug, aka Shannon, sending me these links, I'm so excited that I can like watch full episodes.
Yes, our friend Shannon, not related to me at all. She's gonna hook you up. So Bryce, I'm so happy that you're watching and that you're on to talk about it, because I've always kind of felt like you're a friend in my head, and now I feel like you can be my actual friend, which is super exciting. But I have to say, you've already brought up Rocco, and I'm gonna start the podcast with it. Rocco is okay. He's gorgeous, but how is Rob not the ultimate zaddy of the pod of the season? Like that, he's, I mean, have you seen Rob, Bryce?
So Rob, yes. So I mean, first of all, let's just say I don't know who is out there casting, but they're doing a good job. So I mean, it's a lot of potential zaddies out there. Let's say that. So no, I definitely, Rob is very easy on the eyes. But I mean, you know what I mean? I don't know. I am like love at first sight. I seen Rocco. I said, oh, hey, Rocco. But realistically, I probably think Rob is a little more friendly than Rocco, because I was like, you know, before I got on, I was like, oh, let me like go to these people's Instagrams. And like, I'm like, Rocco ain't following hardly nobody from his cast. I was like, oh, let me find out Mr. Olympics is little Hollywood. But yo, definitely Rob is definitely some eye candy. Who else did I have down as some eye candy?
I was gonna say, Bryce, let me offer you a choice here for the Teal Tribe here. Kubis or Nathan, who has more zaddy potential?
Oh my god. So wait, because I didn't took notes. So Nathan, first of all, got a lot going on. So Nathan was a very high contender, but then he kind of pissed me off this episode a little bit, trying to throw the challenge. I'm like, you don't do that in Survivor, okay? And then especially, you not trying to throw the challenge to get my girl Mamba off, okay? So I was pissed, okay? So I was like, you know what, Nathan? You just lost the D and Zaddy. Now you just the Zad. And who was my other choice again? What was the other? Yes.
The guy who was pissed off at Nathan for throwing the challenge.
Describe Kubis. I'm trying to figure out which one.
He's a shorter.
Kubis. Okay, with the hat.
Going on this episode a little bit.
Yeah, no, Kubis is cute too, but I still probably would have, even though I'm mad at Nathan, I probably still would have to go with Nathan a little bit for that, for the Teal Tribe.
Yeah, see, I love that, because I was going to be docking chizzy points from Nathan for the way that he acted in this episode. And we're going to talk about the strategy of throwing a challenge when you're in the minority and you're thinking that you'll throw it to maybe go to a rock draw and to, you know, to try and pull someone over isn't the best idea, I think. I mean, I think that he just thought, you know, it's episode 5, it's Survivor South Africa, and we still haven't had a rock draw. Like, what is going on? And my theory on Nathan going forward is that he can't have a healthy foot and strategic acumen at the same time. So I feel like once his foot got better, all the strategies seem to slip away. So it seems like it must be one or the other.
Yeah, his blood either goes to his foot or his brain, it seems like, with Nathan. I'm so intrigued, though, Bryce, making Nathan go down from a zaddy to a zad. I didn't realize that zaddies, it's like a game of horse in basketball where you like get letters to build up the word.
Absolutely. And some people are zaddies and some people are just zads. And like, you know, Nathan was on his way to be a zaddy. But I like that really kind of pissed me off a little bit. And especially like, I kind of agree with you, Shannon, like you are not in the position to be saying you want to throw a challenge. And like, shout out to my girl Steffi for being like, we ain't doing this. But I'm just confused as to why she would agree to sit out on a challenge. So like, girl, I think they needed you. Those couple of extra seconds out of the water that my girl Mamba spit in the water could have been well used getting that challenge together and getting that puzzle together. So like, you know, but Nathan is still up there, that little tattoo arm. Woo, you know, listen, we're doing a South Africa Zaddy calendar. Nathan will definitely have to be on it.
Well, let's talk about the challenges. Let's dive into the episode, and then Bryce, we're going to, I'm sure, get all of your thoughts on all of the contestants. But I feel like the challenges are a good place to start. Let's talk about one of the major controversies that has come out of this episode. I'm not sure if you saw this on Twitter, Bryce, but so Nathan is trying to throw the challenge for reasons none of us can seem to understand, I think. And right. Lao Mei are actually trying to win the challenge, and they weren't able to, even though Jacques said he can solve slide puzzles in 90 seconds, you know, almost 2 hours go by. And Christian Hubicki, of all people, has verified for us over a lot of internet conversation that the way that they had put the pieces into the slide puzzle actually made it unsolvable. So that, I think, is why Nathan wasn't able to, you know, complete his terrible, terrible plan of throwing the challenge. Luckily for him. And yeah, it seems as if that this wasn't possible to happen. So Mike, what are your thoughts on this controversy coming out this week?
So we have given so much kudos to the production staff of Survivor South Africa in the past, deservedly so. This was a huge oversight from the challenge side. And it's so interesting because on the surface, I really liked what they did with the individual slide puzzles, because I know that usually you put someone in that hero spot to solve the puzzle on behalf of the entire tribe. But here, everyone sort of got their opportunity to build up to that moment with their all individual puzzles to go through. But it was so contingent on them sliding through the pieces in the correct order. And we even see Lao Mei, if you rewatch the challenge, there's a point where, you know, CPay is going through the pieces and they're saying like, okay, make sure you get it through. And I think somebody said, no, it doesn't matter. The order doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And it turns out that the order really did matter. It's been verified by so many different sources this week that what Jacques had was an unsolvable puzzle. I'm intrigued to hear from you, Bryce, because when I was watching this, I got two Cagayan flashbacks going on. One was in episode 4 when Miss Sarah Lucina tried to throw a challenge and the poor Brains tribe just couldn't get it together. And Sarah actually ended up beating them, which again just goes to show how the Brains tribe were pretty hapless. But the other one, when Jacques was going through, you know, that puzzle saying he could do it in 90 seconds and it took him, you know, 2 hours plus. I'm thinking back to your girl, Jatia. On that fish puzzle.
It's so funny. I was having flashbacks as well, too. And, you know, shout out to my girl, Jatia. Hey, Jatia. But the thing about, and mind you, I might be killing his name, Jacques.
Yes.
He was pissing me off a little bit because, first of all, my girl Souple was out like, you know, they trying to help you. And although Felix has been getting on my damn nerves this whole season so far, because I feel like he's like a bully. And I had to agree with him here. Like, what you're doing is not working. And clearly at the time, they didn't know that the puzzle was unsolvable. But like, baby, you said you could do this in 90 seconds. This is like 700 million 90 seconds later, and it's not working. So let someone else do it. Like, let my girl Mommy Souple help. Like, you know, like, you're just like freaking out. Like, this is a 3-year-old puzzle. I could figure it out. I'm like, Jock, if you don't take your skinny butt and sit down next to Felix's titties and have somebody else come up there and play. But I mean, I don't know. I was like really frustrated the fact that they like could not get it together. But I just feel like let someone else try. Like, you know, don't stop being Jatia and let somebody else try. Okay.
Shannon, I think our next body part account has been found. Felix's titties.
Yeah. Don't put that under the universe, Mike. Like, do not. I just can't even imagine how frustrating it would be though to like have this be the puzzle you practice as well that you know you can do and have it be unsolvable. Like, for me, it's crazy that in that like 2 hour period he couldn't have worked out that like this is unsolvable. Surely at that point where you're so good at it, you just know there's like no solution to it. I mean, it's not great. Let's pivot a bit to talk about Lao Mei, which you've been talking about. We've got Felix's titties already. We're talking about that, so we're already on the ball there. They make the decision to take out Felix. So I'm kind of looking at this from Tanya and CPay's position, two people I want to get all your thoughts on, Bryce, because I think they're two of the breakout stars of the season. But
yes,
from their position, Mike, did you think that this was a good move to take out Felix?
It's tough because, you know, when Felix got voted out, I know that Jacques and Tanya particularly were celebrating, which was so interesting considering that even in the last episode, they're like, okay, we know we don't like each other, but we got to work together. Cut to 3 days later and they're dancing on his grave. But I guess you have to remember back to the fact that Felix was the most outspoken against Tanya back in those Taolo days and the big argument going on in the shelter. I do wonder if Tanya and CPay, as strategically adept as they are, I do wonder if this vote was a little bit personal, where I think, you know, Tanya did have that grudge against him. CPay seemed really pissed off at the jokes Felix was making during the challenge of like, can we recruit Meryl to come in and solve the puzzle right. for us in exchange for an immunity idol? Which also, considering how wackadoo Survivor South Africa was, I would not have been surprised if had Felix had the immunity idol that Jock gave to him, he could have bartered with Meryl to have her jump in and solve it. Like, that's how crazy Survivor South Africa is. But I do wonder if they were just both so resolute in the moral sides of those types of things that it just completely clouded their sense of judgment. Because I will say, on the surface, or I guess, you know, with the aftermath of everything, as much as I love T-Pain, I don't know if this was the correct move moving forward, only because now you have 2 versus 2, considering that Darrow was firmly in Jacques' jacket, if you will. I don't know if they know that. But the fact that they are now facing a 2 versus 2 scenario, if they lose a challenge again, is a bit more frightening than if they voted out Darrow. They know that they're going to vote out Felix as the easy vote next.
Yeah, I mean, I at first didn't like the move as well for all the reasons you just said. I mean, to keep Felix is to be purposefully keeping a fracture in the group so that you can control it more. And you're keeping kind of that, like, those problems in the tribe. But I think what they've done, which I kind of liked, yes, it seemed emotional, but I feel like those emotional things had merit. Like, Sipe wanted it to be right. a good, cohesive, unified tribe. Now, if they have to go back to another tribal council, they may have a harder run at it. And then it'll be up to Tanya to make sure Jacques is voting out Darrow. But if they don't go back to tribal council before a swap, this four I think could be really cohesive. Like, this four could really take it, because besides Sipe and Darrow having Rocco, there's not a lot of other allies for them. Like, they could be really tight. Also, they have a better energy camp, so they could win more challenges. Plus, you know, when you say Felix is talking to Meryl, Meryl's not a stranger to him. He was aligned with Meryl at the Alta Alo camp, so you know, he wasn't hiding that he had those other alliances, that he would be ditching them in 1 second at a swap. They don't know when a swap is coming. They don't know if they'll be going back to a tribal council. So I think I've come around on the move as being really good for them long term, maybe a bit dicey a short term, but like, maybe now with this good group that they're saying is forged in fire, they'll make it, you know, to a swap without going to other challenges. So to other tribal councils. So I think that I like it long term, even though I do think it's riskier. Bryce, what do you think about this move and what Tanya and Sipe, who I think are icons of the game, what do you think about what they're doing?
I mean, so again, this is more outsider looking in, but I think the move was well warranted. I think Felix definitely had to go. It just makes me a little nervous for my girl, Suple. I'm like killing her name.
How you say it? You see it, you pay for it.
Oh, yeah. Come on, CPAC girl.
I like Suple, though. It sounds like suplex or souffle. Like, I'm enjoying this nickname.
Suple is out there killing it. So, however, when they did vote him out, it did kind of make me nervous a little bit, because, like she was talking about on this episode, like, she is the mama bear of this episode or this season. And I feel like, don't nobody want to sit next to their mom, because who's going to want them to vote their mom out? So, I feel like only a matter of time before they're going to start turning on Suple, and she ain't going to want to Suple like that. So, I just feel like it made me a little nervous, but for sure, like, Felix had to go. Like, he just was like literally and figuratively dead weight. So I definitely think like they're super strong together. And Duray was a lot easier on the eyes to look at. So
Durrell's a zaddy? Is he?
Yeah, girl, shit it, girl. Yes.
No. Really?
I think so.
Mike, break the tie.
You know what? Well, it's tough because I have fallen head over foot in love with Darrow this episode, because he is such a doof. He is one of the doofiest players I've seen in years. And I say that in sincere love for the man. But the stuff he was doing this episode was incredible, between his quote unquote acting job of, Felix, it's looking like me tonight. I don't know what to do, Felix. I'm not sure. And then the fact that he's like, I'm going to play my fake idol, even though I won't show it to you. And then he loses the idol.
I know.
The ocean.
My question is, with them tight behind swimming pants, how the hell you lose that idol? Like, I'm like so confused. Like, that idol should be like sticking to you. And how does it like fall out of? I don't understand. Like, why wouldn't you just give it to Jock when you go for a swim? Like, I was like so confused, but I...
My theory, Bryce, honestly, I think we're looking at like a Dan Foley-esque aqua dump situation. When those pants were down, I think that's when the idol got swept out to sea. And poor Rose Lee put so much work into that idol last episode, only for her one ally, A, not to use it, and B, to let it get swept out with his caca in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
And poor me for having to hear that.
But then there's this other thing. Just there's so many fun Durant moments, and I'm so happy he stayed. Just the one moment where they won the fruit after the reward challenge, and Tanya's like, "All right, gotta take small bites." Durant just like shoves a fistful of mango in his mouth. Like I'm all in on Durant after just two episodes of seeing him because he is an absolute delight to me.
Yeah, I feel like he could become like an ironic favorite, like Carter from the Philippines, if he like is long for the game. Yeah, his plan with the fake idol, I have to say, I watched this a couple of times and I'm still super confused because it made no sense. It was like not really believed by anyone ever. And then he lost it. So just, you know, in terms of the plan, not good. I actually thought he did a couple of good things in this episode. Like when he came back from the Rose Lee Tribal Council, he was like, "Thank you for keeping me. I'm going to be really strong for the tribe." And then like, look, on Felix's behalf, like, he bought that Doral was going. So you can say that that's Felix's fault, or that Doral, at least the tribal council, was kind of selling it, which seems unbelievable to me. I'm not really sure when Doral is, like, bad lying or bad lying on purpose. Maybe I'm giving him too much credit. I'm like, is he trying to lead him down the garden path? I don't understand Doral. And I pride myself on being an expert of this game, so I will spend a lot of time trying to analyze him for as long as he's on the show, but... yeah, in terms of Felix, he was fighting with every single person on the tribe except Sipe, who he gravely upset, and she just has too much of a cool head to you know, actually confront him about it. So that's how you get voted out of the game. But I will say as well, in terms of Doral and Jacques, like, good on them for making a duo here. Mike, do you have a couple name for Jacques and Doral? Can we do this?
Ooh, okay. We have, like, De Jacques, which sounds very French. I'm enjoying that.
I don't hate
De Jacques,
it.
Exactly. Like, oh, like, let's have some rice De Jacques, which means, I guess, you put the rice in a grid and you sort of, like, touch it for 2 hours and doesn't really move it around that much. So that might be a good, but I agree. I think that a good move Durao did make this episode was, you know, we had heard Jacques' master plan last episode of, okay, we're going to get rid of, you know, whoever, and then I'm going to recruit Durao to get rid of Felix. And to his word, he did that this episode, and Durao was eyeing him as well. And I was a little nervous. The editing behind the latter half of this episode, they really lined up that Felix was getting blindsided. And I know we're all students of the US version of Survivor. I was waiting for that other shoe to drop. I was waiting for it all to fall apart. And for somebody to, you know, to come undone and just completely ruin the plan. And when Durao at Tribal Council was like, "I've been getting along well with this guy," I was a little nervous. But Durao, for his point, did play it off by like, "But, you know, he hasn't said anything to me." Bryce, I'm intrigued to know, because you're someone who, you know, obviously played Survivor. How much does it impact your day to day to have someone really being annoying at camp? Because I feel like it's been a tried and true Survivor thing of like, okay, do we get rid of someone who's a nuisance at camp or someone who could be better for us strategically? Here they made the decision with the former. Is it just something that gets into your head day after day if you have someone who's better for your game but maybe worse around camp?
Well, first of all, Mike, you know I ain't spending that much time at camp, so I feel like this is a trick question.
More than us, okay? Bryce, more than us.
Okay, because I could have been that person to get out, but no.
No.
Absolutely, on my season, the most, and I love her to death now, but the most annoying person was Jeffra. And no, it definitely, and you know, I was only out there for 9 days, but 9 days seemed like 38 months for me. Like, it's like it will wear on your soul. And it's like you just have to think it's morning, noon, and night. Like, Jeffra would not stop talking about what she was going to do. And Jeffra always wanted like company. So Jeffra would be like, "Good morning. Good morning, y'all. I'm going to go to the bathroom. Anybody want to come with me?" Like, girl, the sun just came up. Nobody feels like, you know, like, "Y'all, I'm going to go take a walk and dry my underwear off. Anybody want to come with me?" Like, no one wants to come with you. Are y'all still laying in the beat? Are y'all still laying in the camp? I just came back from peeing and drying my underwear. Like, it's like, no, it really can mess your mental up. And like, you get so wrapped up in like the littlest thing. So I think that it is important to get rid of the dead weight. But at the same time, when I was playing, I don't think I was as vigilant as that. But like, no, like you also need to be aware of that, because it's like, you know what? Maybe we should have kept Felix around, because it's like, you want to keep that buffer. Like, you want to keep that person that, like, you know, will not win because no one will vote, but keep them around as long as possible, because like, that's shielding you. Like, that's kind of like protecting you. So it is it's a catch 22, but it definitely wears on your mind, body, and soul to have someone like so annoying out there. And me and Felix would have clashed out there. So I would have been with my girl Supe and Tanya and being like, he gots to go.
Yeah, I think the issue is that they were deciding between, I guess, Darrell and Felix, two people who were probably not going to win the game anyway. But I think that Felix becomes threatening because you don't know how long you're going to be in this iteration of the swap. Will he get back to a Dante or a Meryl who he's like openly talking to at the challenge, or Corbis? And then he becomes threatening again. Like, then he becomes a key cog for an alliance that's working against Jacques and Tanya and, you know, Cipe's alliance with the old Saula. So I think he does become threatening. He was also like, so many things were wrong. I mean, he was so complacent with allies he never should have been complacent with. There was just, I mean, the whole episode is littered with Felix's mistakes, and it did save a couple of people here. But to move on to some of these other tribes, I want to talk about something that I feel like I enjoyed and I feel like Bryce will have enjoyed, which is the bench powwow session between Nathan and Rob. And I did.
Wait, why would you assume that I wouldn't have enjoyed it?
I mean, like, as a straight man, Mike, maybe you enjoyed it, but in different ways. Like, I always enjoy
have an appreciation for two attractive men, objectively attractive men, coming up with stupid plans on the bench.
Yeah. So the plans were stupid. But before we talk about the stupid plans, Bryce, I noticed that Nathan referred to Rob in a South African term of endearment. He said, "my brew." Now, I know you're fond of Bruder. So my brew, yeah. Can we work this into the vocabulary here?
I think so. I'm taking notes. My brew. Okay. Listen.
Yeah, I mean, that's right from South Africa. You're welcome. Super cultural, super international flavor. Yes. Yeah.
Yes, I love it. My brew.
All right. Well, let's talk about their terrible plan. So Nathan tells Rob that he's going to throw the challenge. And I mean, bad on Rob for not being like, dude, what the hell? That is terrible. So just bad all around. They're there for this amazing Biostrath reward challenge, which we're definitely going to talk about. And they're kind of talking about who to send to Island of Secrets and, you know, how to make that work. So eventually Rob sends Jeff to Island of Secrets. Mike, what did you think of this decision?
Well, so it's interesting because it didn't seem like Rob sent him. Seems like Rocco sent him, which was confusing to me because it is odd that they were talking about it. And it just so happened that Rocco came up with the same idea on his own. Maybe it's because Rocco wanted to send an ally. I'm so confused in so many ways by this plan, because they're operating under the assumption that this Island of Secrets was going to be like the one from last time, where, okay, the person who goes is going to miss out on Tribal Council. But this is after the reward challenge. It's not after the immunity challenge. Like, they're talking about, okay, we're going to send Jeff to, you know, split up him and Mike, and so that Mike and Maba are going to, you know, become the underdogs. That's all well and good if this was after the immunity challenge, but the fact that it happened after the reward challenge, they in no right should have believed that, you know, they'd be sending someone away who would be gone for the tribal council. So much so that when they came back for the immunity challenge, Nathan's like, okay, I really hope we send someone back to Island of Secrets. I just think it was very short-sighted and based on an assumption where, yes, if this had been one challenge later, would have been a fantastic idea to really, you know, get the numbers. But at the time that they're doing this, when Nathan is having so much confidence in the fact that even if Jeff does come back, we'll have enough for a rock draw, that's a horrible thing to go off of, even this early in Survivor South Africa.
Yeah, it would actually make a lot more sense coming from Rocco, who might have been sending Jeff as an advantage, thinking Jeff's in his all-male alliance. Like, I didn't really see exactly, it as being Rocco. I just assumed it was Rob, because I'm always distracted when Rob is on the screen, and it's really making my job very hard. But, yeah, so if that was Rocco, that makes sense, because you would only send Jeff, you know, as a positive, because he's not missing a tribal council. He may get an advantage. Made no sense to embolden the, you know, opposite alliance of Lao Mei, the old Lao Mei, by sending one of their main members to the Island of Secrets here, not miss a tribal council and just come back with something. Bryce, I'm interested to know from you how you felt about, you know, Island of Secrets in general, as it sits alongside all the other islands we've come to know in Survivor history.
You know me, I don't like the islands. It's annoying to me, but I can say I feel like the Island of Secrets to me sits a little more well with my stomach, because I never liked Exile Island, don't like Ghost Island, didn't like Edge of Extinction. I just feel like they don't really serve much purpose. However, Island of Secrets seems to be, like, you know, great in the aspect of you saves you from, because, correct me if I'm wrong, because, you know, I'm still new to South Africa. I ain't been yet, just about, you know. But so, like, if it is before the immunity challenge, you are safe, essentially, because you can't get voted out. Is that correct?
I think it's been different every time. And that's what I think is a really good thing about Island of Secrets, is that these people are trying to predict it, but they can't. Like, what I see from Nathan's terrible plan is that I feel like he saw them send CPE last week and was like, damn, if that was us, this would be such a perfect situation. But, like, that's not the situation this week. You missed it. So the plan is over. Like, time to let go. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do next week, but I think that's one of the things that makes it really fun for me, that it's quite diverse.
That you don't really know. But my thing with Jeff is, so you have a chance of like an advantage or candy. I don't know. Like, I don't know whether or not I would have chose the candy. And if I definitely would have chose the candy, I would have grabbed it with both hands and no candy left behind. I would not be spilling it on the floor. Jeff, get yourself together, boo. Like, what's going on over there?
To be fair, Jeff has a problem with memory. Maybe he has problems with like hand-eye coordination. Too.
I was laughing so hard at Jeff and the memory thing, how he's like, I have the memory of a goldfish, and then he says that he doesn't even remember a tribe member's name. Also, because this week he was telling me how much he loves my cat's Instagram, just fishing for those chivy points, and he says he has a cat account on Facebook and he can't delete it even though people make fun of him because he forgot the login. And I was like, wow, that syncs up so well with the episode where he talks about his bad memory. Like, I love the entire editing of Island of Secrets. I absolutely love how he was like staring intensely at his choice between the firewood and the, as we say in South Africa, the sweets. And then it just cut to him laughing with the sweets. Like, that was absolutely amazing to me. But in terms of the actual decision, Mike, did you like, you know, it's taken straight from Australian Survivor. So we've seen this before if you're a fan of international. So did you like them bringing it back here?
First, let me just say, I am so happy with Island of Secrets, and I'm happy that I was able to, much like these body part Twitter accounts, put something out in the universe. Last week, Shannon, I know I was grousing to you about the fact that CPE didn't have Jack to do or Jacques to do on the Island of Secrets. And I said, you know what? Don't give out. You don't need to give out an advantage every week. You could present these moral dilemmas that Australian Survivor has done. If, you know, pick one thing or the other thing. Lo and behold, here Jeff comes. Candy or firewood. I actually really love not only the choice he made, but specifically the way he went about revealing the choice and coming up with Shannon. He essentially did the neutral box, but unlike So Kim, he was able to pull it off here, where he goes back to camp and he says, look, guys, I got this jar. I had to choose between a jar of sweets, firewood, and an advantage, and I chose the jar of sweets, and I'm going to share it with you all, because, you know, he could pull a Jericho and, you know, try to foster a little brigade, but I always said that Jericho was playing a bit with fire, because that's, if you make a bunch of, you know, two person
alliances,
we didn't
choose the firewood.
That's true. You're playing with chocolate. You have a chance of, you know, having people compare notes, and then your game might be out in the open. But here he's really trying to foster this community there. Nathan seemed pissed off at him before during the reward challenge for bungling one of the matches, which, again, it's not his strong suit. So don't blame him too much. Maybe he's fostered some goodwill there. But what I really liked about it is, if I'm in Jeff's position, Jeff's a fan of the game, right? And so you'd have to assume that everyone else will think, no matter what you say, that there was an advantage out in the Island of Secrets. That even if the choice was between candy and firewood, that there had to have been something where you got an idol clue or an extra vote or a vault nullifier or whatever. So Jeff essentially planted that idea in their mind, confirming that, yes, there was a quote-unquote advantage out there, but no, I didn't choose it. So I think it's a matter of him coming across as honest, to everybody else, but at the same time, he actually was being duplicitous in saying there, in actually, you know, not having an advantage out there whatsoever.
For me, because I think I'm coming at it from a different perspective, because I've seen Candy versus Firewood or Cookies versus Firewood before. So to me, I it's believable, you know, like I can't imagine what it's like to not believe that. But I, for me, for him to come and say, oh, I could have had an advantage, but I chose these sweets is an unbelievable lie to me. Like if I was on the tribe, I would be thinking no one would do that. Like, especially Jeff, who seems like really keyed in. So I don't know if it was super necessary to me. It just came off as a little bit shady. And my other thing in terms of this whole twist and as well on Australian Survivor when it came out is that the first thing about this, as you said, Mike, is it's different from Australian Survivor, because on Australian Survivor, they just found it randomly in the woods. Here, you're coming back with something. So they expect something from you, which makes it like way more scary and much harder decision. But I have an issue with it because I feel like he shouldn't be allowed to come back to the tribe and save and share it with everyone. It's meant to be a decision between sweets for you and firewood for the tribe. It's meant to be a decision between you and the tribe. To come back and be allowed to share it with the tribe makes it okay, now you're deciding between sweets for the tribe or firewood for the tribe. And like, why would you not choose sweets? Because you can go get your own firewood and sweets are fun. So I think that people even had an issue when Tara and Jericho and Australian Survivor were sharing it with each individual person for their own personal gain because they thought it was meant to be even more internal. But I mean, I think that was fine. But I just think in this situation, it becomes too communal. And I have an issue with it because I feel like that should be policed. But I also think behavior on Survivor, like who you can tell things to, shouldn't be policed. And that's always the issue I've had with this twist. But that's my own rant on that. Bryce, what did you think about his decision here to choose the sweets and then come back and give that lie?
So, first of all, I was more nervous when he like came back empty handed and was like setting it up like, well, this is the decision. And then when he like went around the corner, I'm like, he better not have forgot where he put that jar of sweets, because I'm like, I was like thinking they're going to be like, oh my God, I can't find it, guys. But so I thought it was a good like strategy for him. But also I'm just thinking like, and maybe in the US Survivor, we're more jaded and shady, because I'd have been like, bitch, no way. I would have been talking to other people like, listen, Supe, even though you're not on this tribe with me, he got an
Bryce,
idol.
Don't, like, don't pull a Felix and talk to the other tribe, Bryce. That's what's going to get you in trouble.
I'm going to get voted out. But I just feel like, I'm like, why in the world, like, are you, I just feel like, why are you, I can't even get my words out, like, just bring out the candy. And I just felt like, to me, if I was there, I'd have been like, he lying, he got an idol. Like, I would have just, I don't know why. And then I also, like, was I the only one looking in the candy jar? Like, I was, like, pausing it, like, there has to be a clue in the candy. Move that red little sucker around the corner. Like, I was, like, trying to see if there were, like, an idol. So, I mean, I thought it was a good decision for him, and I'm not really that familiar, so don't kill me. But I'm like, I maybe would have brought back the firewood a little bit, because, you know, in the game of Survivor, fire is your life. But like, I do agree with you, Shannon, like, what is the moral dilemma here? Like, so either way, you're bringing something back for the tribe. So like, I don't get it. I would have much rather seen Jeff like sitting by a tree and like a sugar high, like, like, you know, laughing to himself. But yeah, I just like, I was just definitely thinking to myself, like, I don't know if I was on his tribe, would I believe that? Like, I felt like that would have almost put a target on his back, because I would have been spreading rumors like, he got an idol. We need to check his bag when he go to sleep.
Well, the fun thing about Island of Secrets is they expect you to bring something back. This was something, you know, in the outpost in Survivor New Zealand, Keisha won a feast for herself and then she came back with nothing and they were like so suspicious of that. So I enjoy that. Like, that's to me more fun than them doing it in Australia where people just found it and no one knew. So I do like that, but I just always have an issue with it where you shouldn't be allowed to do things, but I don't think that they should stop people from doing things. So it's doesn't work for me. But
do you think the problem was that the jar was too big? Do you think if it was like a box of candy that Jeff could have brought it back, hid it in his bag, and maybe, you know, squirreled it away a bit more? Whereas otherwise,
he would have had to eat all, though.
I mean, otherwise, he would have had to eat all that candy on the Island of Secrets over the course of only one day.
Well, he had it hidden before he came out. He could have hidden it, I guess, in the woods before he like came to the tribe.
But like Bryce said, he could have easily forgot it.
And then how good if someone finds it? Like, oh my God.
I know. And it would be Steffi would have found it too. Steffi would have been walking around like, what the hell is this? Child, like, so yeah.
Well, and Steffi looks like she's never had a sweet in her life. So she'd probably just like pass on the sweets. But no, Steffi and Nathan. So they're the real interest in Sunyula. We're going to talk about it. We've already insulted Nathan's plan so much. I don't know if there's a lot more here, but I actually think, like, I would understand if the Lao Mei three, so that's Jeff, Mike, and Maba, wanted to maybe throw a challenge in order to get rid of either Steffi or Nathan, who are part of, like, a really powerful Saula contingent, but I still don't think so, because you don't know who has what idols in other tribes. Nathan certainly doesn't know who has a Lao Mei idol, and he doesn't have a majority, and he's trusting Kubis to just go to rocks for him after a couple of days. Like, I don't even know where to start with this plan.
It's so interesting because Nathan kept saying, like, I gotta go for the Hail Mary. I gotta go for the Hail Mary. And it's comparable to, like, in American football, if, like, you were playing in the first quarter of the game, and you're like, all right, time to throw the Hail Mary, all or nothing right now. Like, right. Dude, it's day 12. There's so much game ahead of you that it's ridiculous you feel like you need to come up with this. Shannon, I know I talked to you about this offline. I'm ready to give the title here. I think Nathan is peak chaos incarnate for this season, considering he was the one to, you know, hoist the blame onto Leanne in the first episode. He's coming with this redonkulous plan to throw the challenge. One of the main things I loved about this, and this is some of the fun that can come with throwing the challenge, is people becoming wise to it. You know, one of the big examples is in Survivor China, when PG and Jamie were having a ball with the, you know, Zodiac puzzle, and James was pretty pissed off. But my God, Kubis is like, intense 10-second stare in the pouring rain when he asked Nathan if he really wants to intend to win the challenge was just absolutely delightful. But yeah, this is just, I don't entirely know why Nathan feels like he needs to make a big move so early in the game when the tribe dynamics are still so shaky. But at the same time, this is the chaos we love about Survivor South Africa. So I'm sort of like slapping him with one hand and hugging him with the other for providing this entertainment.
Yeah, if Lao Mei's puzzle was solvable, here's what I feel like would have happened. I feel like Steffi would have been pissed off that he sat her out to throw a challenge which he doesn't agree with. I feel like Kubis would have been pissed off that he obviously threw the challenge, and I feel like he might have been unanimously voted out. Steffi touch and go, but I feel like he would have been on his way out the door, also for completely screwing up the challenge. So, just unfortunate there, I feel like he completely misread Steffi, and the crazy thing to me is that Nico announces, there will be no Island of Secrets for all of you people confused. You will all be going to Tribal Council, and I'm like, I guess that's the end of that plan, and then we just see Steffi sitting on the bench. Bryce, please give me your live reaction to the insanity that was all of this.
I was so confused because I still was looking at Mamba in the water, okay? Yeah. I was just, like, again, I just was so confused at this whole thing, and then I'm just like, I don't get it. It's only episode 5. Like, you know, you guys still have a pretty strong looking tribe, but I don't understand what the point of throwing the challenge so early is. I just couldn't understand it. But then, yes, I was like so cracking up when he was like, is your intent to win this challenge? And then to me, I felt like the world stopped, and I was like, oh my God, what's happening? And then he was like, well, enough of that. Let's talk about getting to the challenge. Let's get back to the challenge. And then, whew, you know, child, I was just loving Nathan's position, like, you know, hour 32 minutes in it, how, like, he was like in downward dog position, like trying to help with the challenge. I'm like, why are you on that table like that, Nathan? Like, what, like, is that giving you an angle to see that, like, of which way to do it? But yeah, that was a lot. But I was like pissed that my girl Steffi was like out, because I just, like, to me, Steffi is like a beast in the challenge, and I just really love it when she have her hair up in that high bun. I'm like, oh, that looks so cute. But yeah, I just was like so confused as to why she would agree to sit out, knowing that he wants to throw the challenge. I feel like, girl, now you are like what happens? Like, what's that saying? Like, say somebody commit a murder and like you like
complicit
get away. Yes, like I feel like you are a complicit finish the sentence and this like because. And this, like, throwing the challenge, because if that was me and I don't want to throw the challenge, and clearly if it was me, my girl Mamba ain't going home. So I'm like, I ain't sitting out. Sit out Mike, okay? Sit out Kubis. But, like, I'm not sitting out. So I just was confused as to why she would, like, you know, sit out the challenge. But I do know, being like a former player, sometimes like people get set out for like medical reasons that they don't want us to know, so it just makes it seem like, oh, we're just sit you out today. So I was thinking that too.
Yeah, what Nathan said was like, oh, we want to sit Steffi out because it's a puzzle challenge, and so we can have more physical challenges next time she'll be available, which, again, a little bit of a misunderstanding of the rules, because I do believe that, you know, they can't sit out the same people in back-to-back challenges rule,
right?
Like, it refreshes after the immunity challenge. So,
plus, it was a super physical challenge as well as the puzzle. Like,
right.
They really needed Steffi, obviously. And like, there's no plausible deniability because he's already come to you to say he wants to throw it. And now he's sitting you out, which you know is really dodgy. Like, you know what he's doing. That's why I feel like he's completely read Steffi wrong. Like, he might have actually damaged their relationship because she seems very principled and she seemed like offended that he would even, I mean, he was acting terribly. Like, she would know what he was doing. I feel like she would be really upset that he was doing this in general.
Yes. He's coming back to the car with blood on his shirt. And Steffi is like, what just happened? He's like, oh, I was eating a hamburger and the ketchup got on my shirt. Like, I just, like, I'm confused as to why she did not put up more of a fight to sit out. That's, like, the part that's getting me. It's like, what, like, I don't understand, girl. What's going on? But either way, it backfired and they ended up winning. So,
well,
like,
the puzzle was unsolvable.
Well, I know. It's because Mamba spent so much time in that water that when they got all their puzzle pieces together, they were just more conscious of how they put it in. Instead of, like, you know, thinking like, oh, we got to win the challenge, just throw them in any type of way. So, you know, shout out to Mamba for, you know, having a little tough time pulling her stuff up out that water and, you know, giving them a little more time to put the puzzle pieces in. Really, I think is the the MVP that nobody is seeing in this challenge.
Well, it's so interesting. First off, I love the hamburger murder comparison, because it's also like Nathan came back and said, oh, yeah, I spilled ketchup on my shirt. By the way, Steffi, hold this gun. Just for no particular reason. Like, if the cops ask about it, just because, yeah, you might be an accomplice in this. I'm so intrigued by this edit because I know that, you know, we have now, what, 5 Lao Mei people have not yet been to tribal council. But I'm so intrigued that, you know, we have, as soon as we found out that Rosalie was gone this episode, we have shots of Jeff, Maba, and Mike all sort of like staring at it. Do we think we're going to get any follow up from that whatsoever? Do we think that if, you know, Saula had gone to tribal council, that would have had any bearing on the way that they voted?
Well, I think that was the follow-up, that they intentionally showed us that reaction shot, that they were annoyed about that. Like, obviously, I honestly think that, yeah, if Darao had gone here, I think there was a chance that three do maybe throw the challenge to at least save Rosalie on the other side, which would have some merit. You know, it's not even like Nathan is trying to save Rob on the other side, who seems like he's in a good spot and also will never lose, and Sipe seems like she's okay too, and Rosalie just went. So I do think that was the follow-up. I'm kind of, we have a lot of time left in the season, but I'm wanting to see more from these former Lao Mei members who've never been to tribal. You know, Jeff was my winner pick and I still feel really good about that. It's just that we haven't seen a lot of like him and Mike and Maba just because they haven't gone to tribal council, but I still feel like they'll be important down the road. Let's pivot as well and talk about some other tribe members. Let's go to Nuta'alo and Meryl, who I feel like finally had a breakout episode. She did a lot of work in this episode. Not only is she finding clues at rewards, which, by the way, the fact that the clue was behind the tile that said immune support is my favorite inbuilt branding ever of all time. So I love that. Then she has to find the idol in her bathing suit in the middle of this challenge, and she has to control Dante the whole time, which is a job in and of itself. I love how she's controlling him like Frankenstein's monster. Like, he's the body, she's the brain, is amazing to me. So Bryce, what are you thinking about Meryl now that we've finally seen like her strategic chops in the game?
So I was excited, but I almost was like a little disappointed that she had to enlist Dante. Like, I felt like she could have probably got that idol by herself. However, it was like in the most worst place ever. It's like, you got to jump behind the bar to get it. Like, so there's like no reason for you to like get up. Like, first of all, she's like standing on the table. Like, look at this fruit, y'all. And I'm just like, why would they put it there? Like, so I, in my mind, because I was just like, yes, because Meryl in my head is like a friend in my head. Because I just, first of all, I think she, I don't know why she reminds me of like Hannah from like whatever Survivor that was like 3 seasons ago. But I just like, I'm like, girl, I want you to get it yourself. Like, I just wanted her to shine on her own. And now I just feel like with her tying Dante in it, it kind of like, you know, it's like their idol. And then obviously when she reveals to the cast that, hey guys, this is the group idol. First of all, that never works. Okay. Only one person can use it. And I'm confused. Maybe I missed it, but like, did someone really see her get the, I didn't like, I was confused. Yeah. And even if somebody saw me get it, oh well. Like, I just feel like her revealing to the group, like, yes, it makes you such a more trustworthy person. But girl, at the same time, it puts a huge target on your back, because now it's just like, well, now it's her idol and she can do whatever she wants. And if we do get a merge, if we do get a merge and we swap, like, girl, the idol going with you. So, like, I don't know. I just feel weak. I feel sticky in those situations. But I was so happy to see my girl, Merle, like, really, like, have a breakout episode. But I just loved when she was, like, contemplating, like, all right, I'm going to, like, draw attention to the fruit, which really is drawing attention to the idol. And, like, let me see if I could do, oh, I can't, because everybody looking at me and I'm standing on the table. So it was, like, so refreshing to see my girl, Merle, have a little breakout episode.
Absolutely. I wonder if it's the hair, Bryce, that sort of wars to compare. They both sort of have the frizzy, curly hair. I'm so conflicted and confused by what happened this episode, because I watched the challenge back a couple of times. Rob Cesardino, do not at me for rewatching challenges. If you have a life.
Bryce, if you don't know, Mike and I have no other life besides Survivor and reviewing the show. Continue, Mike.
So basically, watching back the challenge, it did look like when we kept seeing the shots of Merle, you know, trying to pull her own little acting chops to be like, all right, because I'm going to lay down and stretch myself out in the rain while the other tribes work a little bit. Here, let me reach under the table. There was a couple times when I saw Nicole look back at her. And when she does grab the idol, there is something where Rob is like looking in her direction. But I can't honestly say that, Rob and Nicole definitely saw her. I was confused at first because when she went to Dante and Dante, she's like, I have it in my shoe, which is weird because we saw it definitely put it in. She put it in her shirt.
Right.
So I'm not sure how it made its way from shirt to shoe. But Dante's, oh, by the way, they saw you. And I thought at first he was kidding because he had this like joking Dante tone about things. But no, I guess Dante was the eyes and ears here that made her reveal herself. I'm so torn about this decision because it's actually very emblematic in the confessional that Rob has, where he says, why on earth would you do this?
Right.
But it does make Merle seem a lot more honest to us. So sort of, I guess there is a little bit of good to go with the bad. And Rob did tell Nathan in their bro down during the reward challenge of like Merle and Dante, I don't trust them. They haven't opened themselves
Mike, what's
up.
What's that called? What do they have?
A little bro down.
Oh, okay.
A brew down, if you will.
Yes.
That's just South African term.
I want to have a brew down with Rob, but okay, so I can see you just got a little sidetracked. So
we'll see how many clothes you have on during that brew down. But I think that, you know, I think that while Merrill, it is another group idol, which did not work out so well for Papa Paul earlier on in this season. I wonder if, like your point, Bryce, it is her idol at the end of the day. So we'll see how much she buys into that mentality. And for what it's worth, maybe she's risen some spots in Rob's view, and Rob and Nicole seem to be in control of the tribe for whatever reason. So maybe this ended up being beneficial, even though she did feel like she had to, for some reason, out this secretive idol that she just got.
Yeah, I just like I ain't never found the idol, but I'm just saying you're not getting my idol and I'm not telling you nothing. And when I was like watching the edit back, I'm like, it wasn't like Rob was like, I saw her. And I mean, or they could have just edited it out. But it's like at no point in time did anyone ever say like we saw the idol. Three things that just popped into my mind. I love that. Like, you know, we got a Rob and Nicole on the same tribe together. Yeah. Like, hey, hey, Cesarinos. And then also, I was cracking up at like how awkward Merle was with like that idol. Like, I'm like, did she just put it in her bikini bottom at first? Like, I'm like, girl, so now you're going to have a hard on out there and they're not going to notice it. And then it's like, then you see her trying to put it in her top. And then when she stands up, she's like, fold. I'm like, girl, if you don't stick that in your curly fro and keep it moving, like, it was just like so much going on. Like, she looks so obvious. I was like just cracking up because it's like literally like she's like standing with her arms folded and it's like under her armpit and then she's like moving around a little bit. I'm like, girl, if this is not giving it away, I don't know what's giving it away. But I was just glad that she was able to kind of like pull it off. And then also when they're like Okay, this is another thing that I've noticed about the South Africa. They're really good whisperers because, like, they just whisper, whisper, whisper. And, like, I love the subtitles because I'm like, how are they getting all of this? Because, like, I can't even hear what they're saying. I like when Dante is like, they saw you. And then you see my baby daddy, Rocco, looking over in their direction. And he's like, I wonder what they're talking about. And then in his brain, they're just like, smile, Rocco. And then he smiles, like, and then, like, turns back around because I'm like, oh, Rocco caught him. But then he just, like, is like, oh, no, that's a fly. And then he just looks the other direction and it's just like, okay. But yeah, so that was interesting, that scene, to say the least.
On top of that, you also had Letitia being like, hey, you two. And then, like, yeah, you know, pregnant pause. Oh, here's what you can do with peanut butter. Like, yeah. I just love
amazing.
Two kids. And the fact that, to your point, Bryce, you know, Meryl's trying to cause a distraction. It turns out that she has to be the distraction while Dante grabs the idol. And her distraction is, look at those islands over there. What island do you think that is?
Right. And they all fell for it, which is another thing. But, like, look, hard to go out there and be in a bikini. It's like, where are you meant to put the idol? I feel like you completely solved it with the fro comment, Bryce. Like, that is absolutely genius. But this is why, like, you know, Kelly Wentworth has had similar problems and she's had genius ways around it and wearing shorts and telling everyone why she needs to wear shorts, which I've thought, you know, behind the scenes has been really, really smart. That's also why I feel like, you know, we got some questions about the Speedos, Bryce, but why would these guys wear Speedos? Like, you can wear board shorts and then you could put the idol in it. I also rewatched this scene multiple times. Sorry, Rob, about that. But I just also agree that they did not see her get the idol. I feel like I understand what Dante was looking at, and, like, Nicole was also looking kind of down, and he was obviously paranoid, but, like, Meryl didn't seem to think that they had seen her. I don't think that they saw her, and I feel like we would have got that confessional from, you know, Rob or Nicole being like, oh, we saw it, rather than Rob kind of being confused about why she would do that. So I think that's really unfortunate. I think that's mostly on Dante, though, but I do think for Meryl, she was obviously very, very scared in that moment that they'd seen her, tried to get ahead of it. But I think if she'd acted fast to do it in a more personal way, you know, she's had a few days. We have this 2-2-2 dynamic. If she had picked out which of the pairs between Letitia and Rocco and Robin Nicole, Sestinino, but in South African, if she picked which pair she wanted to go with and just shared it with them so at least they could have, like, a majority without it having to be a tribe idol, I do think that would have been better. But I don't want to take a lot away because I think what she was able to accomplish in this episode. The fact, I mean, she found a freaking clue and a reward in front of everyone and an idol in front of everyone. Like, it's impressive. And I just think she got a little freaked out at the end.
Agreed. And I'm also thinking, like, y'all won this challenge. And so listen, me, you know, I was voted out third. So any place after third to me is winning. So if I'm Merle, I'm.
And now third is also winning, Bryce, by the way, listen, as of last season.
Okay. You ain't never lie. Somebody was like arguing me on Twitter the other day and they were like, you were voted out third. I was like, bitch, I won. Okay. And that's what I'm sticking to. Okay. I'm the winner of season Kagyan. Who the hell is Tony? But anyway, back to Merle. This is what I'm thinking. And maybe it's just because I was voted out third. Well, listen, we won this challenge, so I'm not going home this challenge. And worst case scenario, if we lose next week and we have to go to tribal, bitch, I just saved myself two more challenges. Like, you know what I mean? So I'm destined to be in this game three more times. And by that time, it's at least the merge. So that's what I'm thinking. Like, I'm not sharing this idol with nobody. Well, I'm lying. I probably would share it with Rocco when we have a bro down. I'm lying. So yeah, I would share everything with Rocco and with Rob. So yeah, those are the people I would share it with. Okay. So I'm lying. Never mind. I take it back.
Well, speaking of third voted out, I do want to bring up something just going back to Lau Mei for a second. I was so intrigued when we see the votes come in for Felix, like after he's giving his final words. And Jacques apparently is now on the revenge warpath for his buddy Ting Ting.
Thank you.
Who he had a huge hand in voting out by misplaying his idol. This is, I don't know. This is akin to, like, I don't know, him, like, running over, accidentally hitting someone with his car and being like, don't worry, I'm going to get those car manufacturers back to make sure that your life was not, you know, taken away in vain. It's just, it's crazy how this is sort of, Now, he even said, you know, three to go. So clearly his new plan is to take out all the Ta'odlo members, save Tanya, because they're the ones that led to Ting Ting going, even though they didn't really lead to Ting Ting going particularly.
This is such a morbid podcast now. We've got Nathan's murder plot. We've got Ting Ting being hit by a car. I don't love the direction that this is going. But yeah, I love it. We had the Ghost of Ting Ting Alliance. We have the Ghost of Ting Ting plan. Ting Ting is a presence on the season. I mean, she's had more of an edit since she got voted out. Then I think that, you know, Chris Underwood had after he got voted out and he won. So I do think that your fellow third boot, Bryce, in Ting Ting could come back on day 35 and win this whole thing. I'm still holding out hope that that could happen.
Listen, you never know. She's going to come around that corner with a candy jar full of bio strap and be like, everyone, hey.
Before we get to the next segment, we're going to take a quick break to hear a word from our sponsors.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we are back. All right, now that we've spoken about the episode in general, I want to get to the most important parts of this podcast. As we know, the hashtag Chizzy, the Biostrat Variety Hour, and then we are going to ask Bryce more about Zaddies. So, firstly, the Chizzy this week has a new theme song. I want to thank Jacob Sager Weinstein and MC Color, and I'll leave them now to take it away.
One, two, three.
This is amazing to me. I love that we now have jingles for these incredibly stupid segments, and this to me was like, this was even better than Biostrath being in the episode. That's how much I loved getting jingles for this, and then spoiler alert, the Biostrath Variety Hour coming up. So thank you so much for that. Alright, I'll start first giving my Chizzy points. Bryce, we're all going to give 2 points to the best player and then one each to the second and, I guess, tied second two best players of the episode. So for me, it was tough because I had four people in my mind and it was really hard for me to see who should miss out. So I'm going to save an honorable mention. So 2 points I'm giving to the great C-Pay, because I just feel like while I see pros and cons to the Felix move, I understand the rationale behind it. I feel like that could be a really unified core four. And also, this is her first tribal council with this group, and she slots in and she is running the show. Like, I love C-Pay so much. I feel like she's operating on a higher frequency than anyone else. People are drawn to her. Even Felix was saying he was the closest to her. So unfortunate that she lost that, but also how amazing that everyone loves her. I saw Glenn de la Creme on Twitter calling it the Island of C-Pay rather than the Island of Secrets, and that is now canon. That's what we're calling the season. So 2 points to C-Pay. And then for my 1 point, I'm going to give one to Meryl. I've spoken about how well I think she did in this episode, how much work to get a clue, to get an idol, and Dante screwed her up at the end. I do think, you know, if she had gone to people individually, you know, rather than giving it to in a very public manner, I think it would have been 2 points, but I kind of just put it down to one there because she made it a tribe idol, and tribe idols, while being the theme of the season, I don't love. And then for my last point, I'm going to give to Jacques, who I really liked his connection with Dural. He wasn't at all implicated for screwing up the puzzle. We now also know it wasn't his fault that the puzzle went wrong. I don't love that he was kind of like showboating and saying he could do it in 90 seconds, but look, it wasn't his fault. I think he's in a good spot now. No one was coming for him, even though the puzzle, you know, seemed to be his fault. And he still has an idol and he's still in the game. So my honorable mention, actually, I am going to give to Dural, because I think he did do some good stuff. You know, I mean, Bryce thinks he's a zaddy. I think he's almost worthy of a Chizzy point. So it's been a good week for him. But for me, even though I felt like he was good at tribal, I like his connection with Jacques. I thought he was good after the Rose Lee tribal. It was just too hard for me to get through that very disqualifying idol stuff, and also some pretty bad acting in the middle there. But honorable mention. So, Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I was between four as well, though it's a little bit of a different four here. So let me start with my two. And this is also like, it's also increasingly problematic to give these points because everybody is so complicated when it comes to strategy. And that's going to show with my two here. I'm giving two to Meryl because even though, yes, my God, did, you know, she have to go reveal this newfound idol that she just, you know, happened to grab to the entire tribe. But like I said, I don't exactly know if it ended up being that bad for her, considering that she has now, in a way, endeared herself to the power couple that's in charge. And now, A, they'll look to not vote her out immediately because she has the idol and she's not going to pull a Paul and say, let's put her around somebody else's neck so you can vote me out. And B, maybe now she's more appealing as a pair between her and Dante to the rest of the tribe. I'm going to give 1 point to Jacques as well for all the reasons that you said, Shannon, but also the fact that, to my knowledge, I'm pretty sure Felix was the only person who knew of Jacques' idol.
That's a good point.
Now that he's gone, now Jacques has another instance of an idol that's completely secretive to everyone else in the game, to the point where they were going around saying, oh, do you think Darrow has an idol? Should we vote him out? So depends on what he does with that information, whether or not it's as successful as, and I'll put that in quotations, as last time he had a secret idol. But I think he put himself in a very good position, despite the fact that he was the one who ended up screwing up the puzzle, even if that wasn't his intention. I'm going to, you know what, let me give one for one tribe a piece here. Let me be equitable here. I'll give one to Jeff.
Okay.
I was
Is
a fan
he followed
of
my cat on Instagram.
Exactly. You know, I'm going to remember to give points to Jeff in case I forget down the line, just because I thought, you know, he turned a selfless decision into a selfless decision. Whether or not that was should have been allowed in the game is something to quibble with. But I still thought the advantage like he came up with, even though some people might, you know, say whether or not it's believable, I think it endeared himself to the rest of the tribe. And I would say honorable mention, I was between him and Darrow right then for the 1 point, because I do agree that Darrow did a lot wrong, but he also did make a tight two and he did survive the tribal council. And my God, he's just such a doof. And so hopefully I can give points to him down the line. But for now, he's an HM.
Okay, Bryce, who are you giving your points to this week?
Well, first of all, Shannon, we're going to have to fight because literally you had like all of my points, like literally like your everything was what I wanted to say. So
I take that
we
as an extreme
right
honor. Like, I love that. Thank you. Like, see, you were a friend in my head, Bryce, with totally vibing.
Yes. We showed up with the same outfit on the first day of school. So I just literally had to like reconfigurate
my
whole situation.
No, that's totally
right
fine.
Now.
You can have the same points. Like, that's totally fine. In fact, validates that I'm right and Mike is wrong.
Well, that is true, girl. That's not hard to be. But
that's the subtitle of this podcast, I think.
So it also gave me a new perspective because, you know, it let me not go with like the normal way. So my 2 points I'm going to give to Jock only because like, how can you screw up? Well, again, it's not his fault, but in the sense of Survivor, I'm not looking at it as like we're on Twitter talking about it. I'm actually like a member on this tribe. So this is my perspective. I'm going to give my 2 points to Jock because how do you screw up a challenge? And although it's not his fault, but like you don't let anyone else help, you screw it up and we lose. And your name not once comes up as a reason to get you home. So for that, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and give you the 2 points. So my 1 point, obviously, I got to give it to a girl. You break, you buy. My girl, Supe, she's just the truth. Like, I, like, from the cast assessments, I was, like, not sure how I was feeling about her. Episode one, I was like, ooh, girl, you coming on, like, strong. But I just, you know me, I'm a mama bear myself. So I definitely want to give a point to my girl, Supe. And also, like, I'll give an honorable mention or a point to Nathan for like putting together a horrible plan for getting on that table, trying to figure out the puzzle and it not working out in your way. And still just like, I don't know. I just feel like, you know what? Listen, the start of the football game and you want to kick a field goal and you all the way at the other end of the tribe. Like, you know what? Hey, I'm going to give you an A+ for for trying, like, you know what I mean? And it's the game of Survivor. And I've seen stranger things happen. And sometimes that's how you have to play the game. You have to think crazy and you just never know what would happen. And then I just want to give an honorable mention to my girl Merle, because I just feel like she found the idol. She played it great. I don't know whether or not I would have listed the help of Dante, but you know what? You found the idol. You got it. You did your thing. So I'm going to shout out and give it to you, girl, my girl Merle.
I feel like Nathan having 7 points in this, the way I feel like he's played, is like why I want to now make, like, we should be able to remove points. Like,
well, so maybe we can't remove points, but let me suggest a couple of segments that might be able to wet your whistle a bit here, Shannon.
We don't do this. What? I don't want to be surprised in my podcast.
Blindside. In true Survivor South Africa fashion, because again, I week after week, it becomes increasingly tougher to do this when people are making good moves, but so many people are making mistakes. And I was so inspired by Darrow this episode that I wonder if we could come up with a segment each week that we call the doof of the week. Who is the person who we feel like, you know, made the most incorrect moves? It's essentially, if the chizzy points are the fishy, this is the cesty. Who do we think was, you know, by far making the worst moves this episode? Doesn't need to be the person who got voted out, because Bryce, I do appreciate the enthusiasm and I agree of the effort that Nathan made was pretty incredible, but I got to put in my doof of the week pick for Nathan this week, just based on how complicated everything was with this plan that really had no validity to it.
Yeah,
I agree.
I mean, in terms of when I say that I feel like we should be able to remove points every week for the chizzy, I literally had a 20-minute conversation with my fiance tonight about whether, you know, hashtag date night, this is what we were talking about whether we should do subtracting chizzy points per week. And it's literally based on how I feel like Nathan acted in this episode. I'm not going to add it in for this time. I may never add it in, but it's something I'm definitely considering. So in terms of like the doof of the week, for me, I feel Nathan. Bryce, I feel maybe you were blinded by his braided hair, by the element, you know. is that a possibility?
I mean, it could be. I'm one for a six pack of abs and a tattooed arm, so I could be possibly swayed. I don't know.
Well, no, and what I will say as well is, you know, if we have Jason or someone else total up how many times someone is nominated for the doof of the week individually each week, I'll put up a bid here. Whoever wins the season as the doof of the week, I will come up with a prize and send it to them personally on my own dime. It'll be some sort of maybe weird doof trophy for all the entertainment they provided with us with this season.
Yeah, I mean, yes. I feel sure they will love that.
I feel like the doof trope, we need to go back to the Pacific Ocean and go find Duro's idol. And that needs to be it. Okay. That, like,
yeah,
we gotta find
the metal detector. Let's search through the ocean like the Amazing Race this week. Find the Duro's idol that fell out of his underwear, and that'll be the doof of the week trophy.
Okay, which one of us is gonna go find that idol? Cause shot not.
You're closest to Samoa, so I think it might have to be you.
I'll call Brett. Brett was so good at that challenge this week. We'll call Brett, okay?
Brett was the person who originally gave the Chizzy Prize for Survivor New Zealand. Like, he has done enough for me. I can't keep calling in favors from Brett LaBelle.
He's in a little bit of hot water with RHAP based on this week's exit interview, if you've listened yet. The other thing I want to bring up is a little bit of a game that I'd like to present each week, just to be, you know, roundabout is fair trade, Shannon. You subject me to the Biostrath game every week, so I want to subject you to a little bit of game madness. So this is a game I'd like to call Slow Mo Showdown. So Bryce, I'm not sure if you're aware, maybe you are because of the gratuitous shots of people's bodies, but there's a lot of slow motion used in Survivor South Africa, particularly in the challenges. So what I did was I counted up the number of times slow mo was used in the combined reward challenge and immunity challenge this episode. And I want each of you to guess how many slow-mo shots were in this episode. And we'll use Price is Right rules, closest without going over wins.
I'm just so glad that we're doing this, because I just thought that it was me slowing it down in my mind. So thank you so much for clarifying that I'm not crazy. Okay.
Yeah. Do I have mild concussion? What is happening with the tempo of the episode? Oh, this is really hard. I have no idea. And so I guess I do have a life that I'm not watching it so closely. I mean, Mike, you are counting the slow motions per episode. So I feel like in terms of who is sadder, might be you. Okay. I'll guess first on a code. 5? I have no idea.
Okay. Bryce, what's your guess? Again, closest without going over.
I'm going to say 7.
Oh, you were both right around it, but I'm going to give it to Shannon on this one. It was six.
Ooh.
Oh.
So I love winning.
The six were Nathan swatting his bag down, jumping off the platform, to Alo celebrating winning the challenge. After 1 hour, the dramatic shots of Nathan and Jacques in the rain solving the puzzle, Saula celebrating, and Lao Mei walking out of the challenge. So hopefully I could keep track of these more so during the season. I would not be surprised if we get at least 100 slow-mo shots by the end of the season here.
Okay, the podcast is becoming very math-oriented, which is a weird thing for me. Like, guys, follow me on Twitter for the Chizzy Charts, which I put out this week. My brother/intern Jason worked very, very hard. If we start subtracting points, the charts are going to get extremely complex, which is what everyone loves to listen to on a podcast. So I'm excited about the way that the Chizzy is going. But now I want to get to everyone's favorite segment, the Biostrat Variety Hour, and we have another jingle. So hit it, Jacob Sager Weinstein and the U.S. Army Blues.
And now it's the Biostrat Variety Hour with your host, Shannon Gates!
And also Mike Bloom.
This is amazing to me. I love that the Biostrat Variety Hour is A, a thing, and B, has a jingle. So honestly, the best thing ever.
And this really does feel like a great representation of not only the segment, but also the reception to the podcast in general, where people are like, yes, Shannon is amazing. My favorite human being. I can tolerate Mike Bloom. He's here too. He's here in response to her fantastic thoughts. So I guess I can tolerate him.
That's not true. You're the Jacques to my Ting Ting, and Ting Ting is long gone, and Jacques is still there getting chizzy points.
I'm going to get revenge for you, Shannon. Everyone's going down.
All right. Well, okay. So, Bryce, let me catch you up on a year's worth of my relationship with Biostrat, which is complicated because I need your advice. Basically, Biostrat is a brand, as we know, that sponsors the show. This week was on the show, which we'll have to talk about, because last week I'm like, maybe I'll lay a little bit easy with the Biostrat stuff. And then they're like, nope, we're in the episode. So we couldn't even if you wanted to. And by the way, I didn't want to. I do want to talk about Biostrat. So it's all good. But basically, last year we were obsessed with them because they put out really shady tweets, and we've been following them ever since because they live tweet the episode. So let me talk to you a little bit about what Biostrat were doing this week. Firstly, in the challenge, at the reward challenge, it was so funny to me that like immune support and stamina were there as tiles next to like turtles and crabs.
My question about that is, which do you think came first? Do you think they were coming up with like Biostrat values and ran out after like four of them?
Definitely.
And said, okay, hook, yes, octopus? Or do you think they were coming up with nautical things, said, oh crap, this is a Biostrat challenge, let's sort of, you know, mix some in there?
No, it was definitely Biostrat based. But by the way, the octopus thing is not random. Like, have you noticed that octopi are on everything, including the logo? And then Jacques mentioned it this week, and it's a tribal council. And my fiance keeps being like, what is that? And he's like obsessed with it. So he's going to be happy that I like finally mentioned on the podcast that octopi is something in the season. I don't know what, but it's something. So as we said, the immune support was where the clue was hidden. Brilliant branding. And also, now, so Ta'alo won, and they go to this incredible Biostrat hut. And now at this point, they win so often that between Sears last week and Biostrat this week, I feel like they're kind of just brand ambassadors at this point. Like, they're influencers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think you're an influencer, Shannon, considering how much you talk about Biostrat, even though it's completely free advertising.
I agree. I mean, people have been saying to me this week that so many people said to me this week that they've bought Biostrat, even internationally, just because I'm talking about it so much. And I'm like, if I didn't know any better, I would think I was working for them. Like, you guys should be very suspicious because it's becoming suspicious, I would say.
I want to turn things over to Bryce here, because we have been confounded for years at this point as to what exactly Biostrat is. Even a contestant from Survivor South Africa could not tell us. This was your first exposure to Biostrat. Give me all your thoughts about this product.
I don't know. And when I first saw it, I was like, Biostrat? Like, what? They giving them strep throat out there? Like, I don't think that is like good. And then I'm like, oh, okay. So like, it's going to help fuel y'all. But then like when they were like drinking it and it was like coffee syrupy and like thick and like, I'm like, is this going to help them? Or like, I don't know. And then when I first heard it, I'm like, wait a minute, is this something that's going to like make them go to the bathroom? Like, is this going to like flush their body out? Like, I was so confused. Like, you know, do I need some Biostrat in my life? Like, maybe I need a healthy daily dose of it. I don't know. But I'm glad that they fueling their electrolytes and their immune systems while they on Survivor.
Yeah, so Biostrath is something that we've been talking about for a long time. And Bryce, I wanted to ask you something, because Biostrath refuses to acknowledge me. I mean, they did tweet back to me this week. I mean, after literally a few people, several people told them that they were buying Biostrath because of me, but they won't follow me back and they don't seem very enthused about what I'm doing. So I want to talk about your relationship with Indolite. How can I get in with Biostrath the way that Indolite loves you?
Listen, it's all in the tone of your voice, okay? You can't say Biostrath. You got to say Biostrath!
Okay, Jesus girl.
And the podcast, we got what we needed.
That's how you got to get their attention. You got to let them know.
Wait, Biostrath! What was that? I don't think I can get to that decibel. Like, I want to. Like, the enthusiasm is there, but I can't do it, Bryce.
No, Shannon, you just have to train a bird to squawk Biostrath. It'll be on my the same level.
Step on her tail. Biostrath, help me, Bryce.
Got it. It's a... You gotta get that deep voice in the beginning, because it's like then it tricks your vocal cords. Then you just like Biostrath, girl, where you at?
Yeah, you send your voice to the stratosphere or the stratosphere.
I want to point out that it is 1 a.m. in Australia, and I'm just here. Just I'm gonna get kicked out of my apartment, just like screaming Biostrath at 1 in the morning. Which, by the way, would be fine if they acknowledge me. Like that's my priority. Okay.
Sometimes you gotta take a risk, girl. You might be homeless, but listen, they gonna know who you are, girl.
Maybe what we could do is, Bryce came up with a great idea. Could people do the Biostrath challenge, where in public environments you have to yell Biostrath at the top of your lungs?
Yes.
At night.
Preferably in an elevator or a movie theater. You know, start there.
Oh, Bryce, you should never yell Biostrath in a crowded movie theater.
Okay, well, send us those videos with the hashtag Biostrath Challenge. I've definitely woken up my fiance as well. I'm so sorry, but you know, it's for the brand. And also, we do have Mitchell Stokes counting how many times I say Biostrath per episode. And last week it was 20, and Mike said it twice. So I feel like this challenge is only going to make that record go up. And also, the count itself also makes me say Biostrath, so that makes the count go up. So it's kind of like a self-fulfilling cycle. Another thing I wanted to say about Biostrath is, during the reward would have been the perfect time for a Shady Sears advert. Like, if it had come up while they're eating Biostrath, like, Flame Grill just tastes better, I would have lived for that.
But they're too friendly, Shannon. They're not going to step on each other's toes.
All right, well, then let's get to the social media. And, Bryce, what we like to do is put brands in the corner of shame if they're too friendly. But what I want to talk about this week is, while Biostrath have been... They were super shady last year, and we loved it while they live tweeted the episode. But then they stopped being shady, and they got a new social media manager, and it was, like, just not that good. But this week, maybe in honor of Bryce being back on the podcast, they brought the Biostrath back. And I was so excited to go on and read these shady Biostrath tweets. Now, I don't have a quiz for you, but I just want your reactions to the shade that Biostrath were bringing on Twitter this week.
Okay. All right.
They said... We know something else that's better than humble pie. Biostrath, it also keeps you focused. Maybe Jacques should have had more of it.
Oh, yeah. Bio! Okay. That was shady. It didn't get a Biostrath, but it got a bio. Okay.
Oh, so it's like Zad versus Zaddy. You got to gain the strap.
Listen, the thermometer, it's not even a thermometer, but whatever it is, you know what I'm talking about. It didn't go all the way up, but that was shady.
I love that Laomei won the Biostrath and then still lost the challenge so badly. Like, Biostrath should be putting out, like, into the Twitter sphere that the puzzle was unsolvable. Otherwise, I feel like it makes them look really bad. They also said...
Well, because I'm pretty sure that Darrow probably chugged the whole bottle. Did you see him sluicing and spilling everything everywhere?
Yeah, I feel like that was not the medical recommended dose that he was having. Speaking of Darrow, they said, something smells fishy. Maybe it's Darrow's idol at the bottom of the sea, crying, laughing emoji. Ooh, yeah. Then they said, okay, let's see where this goes on the Biostrath meter that Bryce is giving us. They said, seems like there's a lot of conniving strategizing here. Shane Felix, in the game of survival, you need to be open to other people's ideas. That wasn't so shady.
That was fun.
They said, even Nathan had to change his plans of throwing the game because Laomei were too slow. Come on, Laomei, where is your focus? Shading a whole tribe there. They also said, someone should tell Felix and Jacques that aggression and stubbornness make for bad team play.
Oof.
I know. That wasn't even about Biostrat. Like, that was just really neat. And the last one, they said, Nathan's plan seems flawed since there will be no one sent to iOS. We wonder if he has thought this through properly. It's true. Biostrat is like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, I think Nathan broke Biostrat, where like they can't just be funny, Shay. They're just like, what are you doing? This is not a good idea.
Look, y'all don't think the old social media manager hacked the account this week? Y'all don't think he was like, you know what? I'm coming back.
Bryce, are you the social media manager who came back for the week? Like, I was just like, why on Bryce week is the sass coming back? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't me. A couple of words would have been spelled wrong if it was me. That's how you know it's me when I hack it.
Yeah, they weren't perving on the contestants enough. But also, all the sponsors were super pumped up about the Biostrat product placement, but that was super boring. So I'm going to go to the Shame of the Week exchange, which was a very disgusting exchange, which was basically the Twitter equivalent of like, no, you hang up between Steers and Biostrat. Was not living for it. Steers says, Rob and Nathan's bromance strengthens weekly. Maybe Biostrat is keeping this flame on. Then Biostrat said, are you sure that's not you guys keeping the flame? After all, you are the originals. Which is like, just accept the compliment. Like, don't throw it back. You're a brand. Damn it, be a brand. Anyway, then Sia said, between all those flame-grilled juicy barbecue ribs last week and all of this Biostrat tonight, you'll never know. One thing's for sure, this bromance here is flaming hot with lots of strength and focus. So, flaming hot, yes. Strength and focus, not sure, but don't love how friendly that exchange was.
Did they have a bromance or a brewmance going on? Or a brandmance?
Brandmance. Oh, that's brand, what it is. Yeah. Ugh, I hate them. Just fight. And also, I do think Mahindra might have been trying to stoke some flames because they tweeted, these tribes are really struggling. Seems like they need some brain food. What do you think, Steers? Which for me is shady because they just had Biostrat. So, I feel like maybe they're trying to bring the shade between Steers and Biostrat, but it's not enough for me.
Did you see, so great listener of the podcast, Josh Spalding tweeted us actually a few hours ago saying that apparently he was listening to a radio ad here in the States and Mahindra was a sponsor of the prize, which was an ATV. So I'm really hoping, Shannon, that someone wins an ATV, because can you imagine someone like Tanya behind the wheel of like an off-roader?
Yeah, I feel like, okay, CPay would be like, she'd be perfect. Like, she's already a biker queen.
Yeah, she's a biker mom.
She's a biker queen and a mom. But I feel like she could control any vehicle. I mean, I don't know. I mean, imagine Darrow. I feel like that vehicle would just eat him alive.
He would flip it. Like, oh, second he's on that thing.
And he'd be like, I don't know what happened, but the car is upside down.
No, he goes into, you see him ride off and you see him walk back and he's like, I went for a ride and I lost it. I don't know what happened.
Or you give it to Jeff and Jeff's like, okay, I think I can't remember where I parked it. It's gotta be around here somewhere.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll see who gets that. But I do want to get to the questions. We had so many good questions for Bryce. We have a lot of things to work out. Firstly, Randy Newpool asks you, Bryce, is Tanya Stacey's mom?
So I don't have enough experience with Tanya yet to just crown her Stacey mom, but she definitely is somebody's mom. I don't know if it's Stacey's mom or Rebecca's cousin. So but I definitely feel like she's falling in that realm for sure.
All right. Well, Josh Creek says, should Biostrat come out with a Southern pecan flavor?
Biostrat! Don't do it. Don't do it. Okay. Because if they did do it, I'd be drinking it like Duro. Okay. Just like.
I will be so annoyed if they like acknowledge Bryce before me, which I feel like is going to happen.
No, not
listen,
true.
It's all about the tone. You have your marching order, Shannon.
You have your marching order, Shannon. And listen, and if they do, I'm pointing them right to you. So listen, that we're a package deal. Okay. Aww,
I appreciate that so much, Bryce, especially because I just came off as super competitive and you just made it a whole family thing, which I appreciate. John Johnson asks, after 5 episodes, who is the freakiest freak so far?
Ciao. Now, this is a hard one, and mind you, it might come as some surprises, but I'm going to have to give it to is my girl, Letitia, honey, baby. Ooh. Anybody that could clean off peanut butter like that, honey, they got some tricks up their sleeves. So we're going to have to shout it out to Letitia for this episode, for sure.
I love that.
I loved And I love Letitia talking back to Rocco this week, where Rocco was like, no, come here. And she's like swearing in Afrikaans, like, come here, like effing, you know, jock male. Like, I love it. Sucks that we haven't seen that much of her just because her and Rocco haven't gone to tribal council yet. But Letitia, for someone who, you know, we all thought was going to be like guaranteed first boot, I think she's looking down a possible spot at the merge if she just keeps not going to tribal council.
Yeah.
Listen, she keep eating that peanut butter. She might win. So I don't know. So
I know you didn't watch last season, but the guy who won last season of Survivor South Africa was also very sloppy with his eating manners. So it might just be, you know, par for the course.
I might do some research and figure that was where my Twitter
at. No, it's not fun. It's not what you're imagining, Bryce. Like, No. He did actually participate in a calendar where he was shirtless with some kittens, but it's also not what you're imagining.
Oh, okay.
It's really not. Right. I assure you. I don't love that. I've compared Letitia to my grandma. And now she's the freaking freak. So
listen, grandmoms is nasty freakies too. So okay, don't age discriminate. Listen, you can be a freak at any age. Okay, no freak left behind. In the words of the great Letitia. Okay.
I love it. Okay, well, Kevin Doherty asks, is the fact that they give the tribes full bottles of Biostrath when the serving size is apparently a capful a symptom of Survivor putting too much immunity into the game? And I have to say, this is my favorite question we have ever received on the podcast.
That's incredible.
It speaks to so many things about me.
All the snaps in the world. That is fantastic. I didn't realize that the serving size was only a capful because I could imagine them just knocking it back because the first sustenance they've seen in a week and a half.
Well, it's medical. You need to be, you know, following those instructions.
But I mean, listen, the way Soupe say it tastes, girl, I might have to down the whole bottle too. She was like, oh my God, it tastes so good. It looks so good. And then, you know, Duroe is like spilling it. And here she come with her hand. And I'm like, is she going to lick that up off of her hand? Because I'm like, if she do, then Soupe is the freakiest freak. But we didn't see what happened with the rest of that Biostrath. So I don't know. But
yeah, I'm seeing like a Biostrath aspect to the calendar. Maybe they could pose with it or be like pouring it to the Zaddy calendar. Because the next question, which we got from Dylan Conrad, is I want a full podcast on Zaddies. Nothing more, nothing less. Ooh, Chile. So let's work it out. So who are we officially putting into the Zaddy calendar from this season?
Well, first of all, hey, Dylan Boo. So, I mean, obvious, so let's just start. The cover is Rocco. Okay. So we're starting. Mike, don't do that. Well,
yeah, I mean, it's Rob. I just disagree so much. Like, I know there's a committee and I want to get in on the committee, but like, how could it not be Rob?
So, but here's my thing, though. I feel like the cover is like a gift and a curse, right? Because how often do you see the cover? You don't really see the cover.
Oh my God.
Like, you know,
you've really blown my mind about calendars.
Girl, you got to pick up on the shade. Rocco, you don't follow your cast members, then you get the cover. Walk right to January. Okay. Boom, we don't see you. We don't see you again. But we know that you're there. So no, definitely, Mr. Cheetah Leftwood. Come on. So definitely Rob is on there. You know, I'm putting Duray on. I don't know for some reason why I want to be like, meet me at the car. It's going down. Every time I say Duray, I don't know why. I just want to say that. But Duray is on there. And definitely who we haven't really been talking about this episode is Dante. Hey, Dante.
Aquaman.
Yes, love me some Aquaman. And I mean, I'm so sad that he gone. But you know, Grandpa Pop Paul, I wanted to put Paul, you know me, I love me a granddaddy sometimes. So I really wanted Paul out there. And then I don't want to like list everybody. But then Nathan, and then definitely Mike. We ain't even talk about Mike like that either, too. But they definitely, that's January, February, March, April right there.
I mean, it's a large cast and there's only 12 months, but I feel like we can probably put everyone.
Well, Bryce, with Paul, though, would he have to come on wearing his oversized basketball jersey and his sideways hat? Is that like the only way he can get on the calendar?
I mean, listen, that's a must on the shoot. OK, like that's not even a topic. OK, yes. Mr. Paul.
Because May from Canada also wanted your thoughts on the Speedos. Is that what you call them in America? Yeah, Speedos is a global thing. Yeah, okay, cool. Yes. Because this is, it feels like grown men on the US season and Australia aren't. Actually, in Australia, yes, they're wearing. Why are international wearing so many Speedos? What are our thoughts on the Speedos? Makes it hard if you find an idol during a challenge, for sure. But, like, I don't think that, I think it makes me uncomfortable.
Girl, May, you need to get you some bio strength because, listen, we is here for the Speedos, okay? And it is an interesting thing because, like, in the U.S., like, we don't really wear Speedos. But outside of the U.S., like, when I go to Europe, like, that's all they wear. So, listen, yeah. I'm here for the Speedos, okay? I always thought it was, like, the more shorter Speedos that I was, like, a fan of. But, I like the more longer-esque Speedos. They give a little more to desire, but no, I'm here for the Speedos. Forget the swimming trunks, Speedos. I'm about to tweet Jeff Probst now. Listen, we need the Speedos on the next season of Survivor.
It's like Bryce, we need to get them out of their underwear first. Like, let's one step at a time. I do want to ask you, Bryce, maybe another addition to the Zaddy calendar. Okay. What are your thoughts about Nico, the host? Mm. Do you have any thoughts about him?
So it's funny that you said that, because when I was watching it, I'm like, well, wait a minute. It looked like he got a little upper body strength. I mean, definitely, in my opinion, he puts Jeff Probst to shame. Ooh. So, boom.
What era Jeff Probst, though? Because, like, he's been doing it for a long time. Like, Jeff Probst from 20 years ago or Jeff Probst now?
20 years ago.
Wow.
So 10 years ago, yesterday, Tuesday, bye.
It's a big call. I mean, I feel like that's very complimentary to Nico. If he listens to this podcast and got an hour and a half through this Bryce cast, like, what a reward to him.
Ah, you're so shady, Shannon.
and Nico himself throwing some shade this week with pointing out Maba's eeny, meeny, miny, mo strategy during the reward challenge.
Nico, I find, can be pretty shady. Like, maybe the shadiest of the hosts.
I don't know. JLP still might be up there, but yeah, I could. Nico's gotten more comfortable, I feel like, and so that lets him settle in a bit more, which makes me happy.
All right. Well, that's all the questions I have. The word Zaddy was asked so many times. That was the majority of the questions that we received. So what is the hashtag for this episode of the podcast? If everyone made it to the end, I'm thinking hashtag Brewdown or hashtag Zad. I like that. It's because it's like Nathan's plan was sad, but he's still a zaddy. So.
Zad, yeah.
Let's see.
Why can't we have both? Because I like Boudin. I love me. Want me a little zad.
Let's do both. You know, it's a special occasion. We have Brights here, and they're short enough words, so I feel like we can. I feel like we can do it. It looks like hashtag Zad is a thing, but I don't exactly know what it's linked to. So let's get some SEO going on here. Let's link it up.
Is Brewdown a thing? Because what is that leading to?
I mean, I think it leads to what we want it to lead to. It matters to me.
All right. Well, Bryce, I want to know what is going on with you. I know that you just released some new music I want to hear about. And last I heard you had a trip planned for South Africa later in the year. So just tell me everything that's happening with you right now.
Yes, I'm a busy, 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 busy bee. I've got a lot of things working. This 2020 Zaddy calendar is consuming my life just with this committee and with these Survivor players that want to be on it. So I just cannot wait until, like, I've got them all done. But definitely, I've been working on new music. I have released a single, Get the Party Started, a chart topper. And I have my follow-up hit, Get the Party Started, available on all music platforms, Spotify, Tidal, Google Play, iTunes, My Uncle Rufus's Trunk. And, you know, it's out there. So I'm going to Europe in a couple of weeks for just some time to see all the Speedos. And then I'm going to South Africa for a Survivor Challenge at the end of September. So I'm excited. I'm hoping I can run into Rocco, you know, or Rob.
Well, you just insulted him. You said Rocco's going to be on the cover, and the cover's a bad thing. Which it definitely is.
But he's still on the cover, though. So, I mean, listen.
Yeah. He could say he's a cover. He's a calendar cover boy. I personally am excited for all the journeys of Bryce's Speedo Tour 2019. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah. Hashtag that. When you go to Europe, hashtag Speedo Tour 2019. I feel like we'll follow it.
Oh, my God. They're going to kill me on Reddit because they already, like, eat me alive for, like, all of my commentary over the male body. But, oh, well.
And yet they keep asking questions about Zaddies. Okay. Yeah, they tell me some people are like, you know, maybe no more bias draft. I'm like, okay, it's not going to happen.
Right.
makes me laugh. I can't do it. They literally put it on the show when I try. So, you know, as Sipe would say, you know, she's glad the Lord led us here to me talking about Biostrap.
I am jealous though, Shannon. Like, you know, Biostrap is like an actual sponsor of, like, you know, Survivor Australia, and it's on. I would die. And first of all, like, I don't even know if you noticed, with like International Delight, I find it like ironic that like during, after, you know, I went crazy about it, all of a sudden I start seeing ads during Survivor, which
that's,
I'm just
amazing.
Like,
your pool is incredible.
But I don't know if that's real. Now, I will die and scream if, like, there's a coffee challenge and, like, the creamer that they can pick from is International Delight. Now, that's when I would Biostrap the rest of my life. Okay? That's when.
You're going to put Biostrap on the map, let alone in Delight.
I want to try it. Like, I'm, like, so confused. And is this, like, an international thing? Or is it in the U.S.? Like, I keep having to research it because I'm like, listen, I need some immunity. I need some strength. I need some focus because... It's a lot going on over here.
Okay, well, someone send Bryce some Biostrap. Okay, that's all we're asking. And send me some Biostrap.
Actually, I'm on Amazon. You can get it. Looks like a $17.74 for 1 8.4 ounce glass bottle.
Okay, well, someone send that to Bryce. Don't make him pay for his own Biostrap. Don't make him buy his own.
I just need a capful. I just need the recommended dose. Just a capful. Yeah, exactly.
No, listen, Bryce, you know what? Rick Devins and I are already going in on getting some steers. Like, if you want to join in on our Biostrap, we can pass a cap around and just sort of, like, ship it to each. It'll be like Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants with a bottle of Biostrap.
I'll have some. Like, are you going to send some to me? Pretty mean to leave me out. It's kind of my thing.
Maybe that'll be maybe that should be my doof trophy. It's just a bottle of Biostrap with Durant title wrapped in.
The greatest doof of all, Biostrap. All for people who weren't taking their Biostrap, whichever way you want to look at it, either negatively or positively. Well, Mike, other than buying Biostrap to give to people who do poorly in Survivor, what do you have going on? What's happening in your world of podcasting this week?
Amazing Race has been going strong. I held down the Amazing Race recap while Rob and Jessica Lise were away. Myself and Dan Heaton got together to talk about what, in my opinion, was my favorite episode of the season so far, even if I was super sad to lose the eliminated team, though I had a great time talking about them with my interview for Parade as well. But Bryce, I'm super intrigued to hear from you because you mentioned it beforehand. I guess you had been watching this season so far. Well, what have you been thinking about it?
I mean, this season of Amazing Race has been amazing, in my opinion. However, I was like so sad that Eliza and Corinne did not make it further. Like, that's what I was like really, 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 really rooting for, because it's like, who doesn't want a daily, weekly dose of Eliza in their life? And then to top it off with Corinne and her snarky stuff, like, I just, but the fact that Brett and Chris were doing so well, I thought was a great, but kind of sad this week of episodes. So I don't know.
Bryce, who from Survivor would you go on an Amazing Race with? Though I feel like after we're like now friends out of my head, and now that we have the same chili formula, and like I feel like we could go on, but I like assure you I'd be a terrible teammate. So who would be a better Survivor teammate for you to go on with?
Well, if they don't choose you and I, like, I feel like there's only two people I would really want to play it with, and it would be like my annoying friend Wendell, because I just feel like we would be great on it, because all we would do is fight, because Wendell just thinks he knows everything. He doesn't really know anything. And then my friend Rodney, I think that we would be great as well, too,
man.
Because we would just be a mess as well, too. So I like, those are the two people that I would love to play with.
I mean, this needs to happen now. We need another season. I know people have been, you know, still a little tepid on the idea of Reality Star Amazing Race, but we need it again, if only to get any of these possible pairings. Having Bryce race around the world without looking at Speedos is something that needs to happen. We've got that going on with Amazing Race finishing its couple of weeks out. I'll have some stuff with Big Brother coming out. The cast should be releasing on Monday, so should be some fun stuff going on with Big Brother 21. Got a couple things in the works on post-show recaps as well, in terms of scripted TV stuff that should be coming out in the next month or so. Lots of really fun stuff, including Survivor South Africa. You can check it all out at A Mike Bloom Type on Twitter. Or if you want to follow at Rob Survivor, which I am now squatting on since Rob gave it up on Twitter last week. I've done nothing with it so far. I need an inspiration for it. So if you want to follow it, give me ideas at Rob Survivor.
How many followers does it have? Because I know I followed it. Am I the only one?
Two.
Amazing. Oh my God. Wow. That's some good social media growth. Well, yeah, definitely follow Mike at A Mike Bloom Type, as he said. At Rob Survivor. Follow Bryce as well on Twitter and Instagram at Bryce Isaiah, BRICEIZYAH. Follow me at Shannon Gates on Instagram and Twitter, where I give you the chizzy chats, where I talk about the show, put out question threads, just Survivor South Africa all day, every day. So next week, Mike and I think are going to be going solo again before we welcome in some really fun guests later in the season. But I'm just having so much fun with the episodes. And Bryce, I'm so thankful that you came on. Like, honestly, such an honor for me to have you on the podcast. And I just love talking to you. So thank you so much for coming on.
Love you, boo.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Bryce, again. Thank you, Mike. Thanks to Scott Sabia behind the scenes. And Bryce, we are going to end the podcast with your new hit, Get the Party Started, so everyone can listen to that. And we will see you next week. Bye.
Get the party started when I walk through. Turn that shit out every time that I come through. Bottles on deck so you know a bitch slide through. It's gonna be lit cause I'm bringing out the whole crew. Always get the party started when I walk through. Turn that shit out every time that I come through. Bottles on deck so you know a bitch slide through. It's gonna be lit cause I'm bringing out the whole crew. I just hopped out the cab, dripping swag, pulling up to your event like I'm trying to make this cash. Now I wrapped around the door, I ignore pump pass. Got a bitch feeling like he on motherfucking tour. Shots to the face, drinks all around. DJ in his bag, ass to the ground. Got a VIP section just for the crew. I'm the flyest thing in here, cause bitch is my town. Get the party started when I walk through. Turn that shit out every time that I come through. Bottles on deck so you know a bitch slide through. It's gonna be lit cause I'm bringing out the whole crew. Always get the party started. I walk through. Turn that shit out every time that I come through. Bottles on deck so you know a bitch slide through. It's gonna be lit cause I'm bringing out the whole crew. It just turned 12 and it's still going down. Club filled up to capacity. I love my bartender cause she filled with tenacity. Got drinks overflowing, spilling on me. I'm in for one of them nights. I can already face drinks all around. DJ in his bag, ass to the ground. Got a VIP section just for the crew. I'm the flyest thing in here cause bitch is my town. Get the party started when I walk through. Turn that shit out every time that I come through. Bottles on deck so you know a bitch slide through. It's gonna be lit cause I'm bringing out the whole crew. Always get the party started when I walk through. Turn that shit out every time that I come through. Bottles on deck so you know a bitch slide through. It's gonna be lit cause I'm bringing out the whole crew.
Whole crew.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.